Oh, no, don't worry about it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. All right, guys, welcome back one more time to Charlie's Bunker. All right. I know that last week we couldn't record. Something happened. Life happens. Let it go. Yes, I'm talking to someone in particular who almost bit my head off the entire week because we didn't record, okay? I was going to do a little, remember the homie of DMX because, you know, he passed last week. You know, long live the king, whatever. You know, this is this week. Today we have a surprise.
What's the surprise?
Wait, let me introduce you first.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Okay, and my co-host, welcome, Charlie's Bunker, my co-host, Nelly Baby. Nelly Baby, please.
What?
Okay, now you get to say hello, what's up, everybody.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay, because, you know, when I want to talk, you're like, what? Shut, let me introduce you. Damn.
Yes. Okay, now, going back to the surprise.
Hey, guys, it's Nelly Baby here. Yeah, I got to cut you off.
Yeah, you got to cut me off. Going back, let me turn the music down, okay?
A little bit.
Not a little bit. I'm going to turn it off completely, okay? Thank you, Bang Downs, for the music. Let's turn off the music. You're going to hear a little blooper at the end of this segment, okay? It's funny. I was doing a sound check, and then just something happened, and you'll hear it. But Nelly Baby here wants to do something for you guys. So I'm going to put her, give her the mic, give her the 30 seconds that she deserves to give you her invention. Go.
What? You're going to use my theme song that I just made out of nowhere?
Yes.
Don't I go, dun, 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 dun. It's Charlie's Bunker, the man of the hour. Charlie's Bunker. Oh, Nelly Baby.
And there you go. So this... She was thinking of this jingle. I was in a shingle of this jingle.
I know.
I was thinking of this jingle. Shingle. She was thinking about it for the whole hour, okay? So there you go, guys. Don't say that she doesn't love you guys, okay? Don't say that because you should see her right now. She's completely red, but she nailed it. You nailed it.
I'm talented.
You're talented. You are talented, okay? You should see her singing in karaoke. Lily baby, karaoke. See, now I'm going to do the same thing. All right, guys, we're back. And I want to remind you, okay, about the Spotify Premium. You want to hear the whole music? Go ahead, listen to it. Spotify Premium is the best way because you get to listen to the entire song. If you don't want to listen to the clips, I'm going to have this segment in just pretty much the topics we're going to talk about. You don't have to worry about it. If you guys see the two with the same name, it's because one has music, one does not, okay? Two, now here's the thing, okay? We have airtime, okay? Yes.
Airtime.
Yeah, exactly. What the hell does that mean? What does that mean? Okay, well, it means is that if you have a business, okay, if you have a small business and you were hit by COVID or you're starting a new business or anything that has to do with business and you want to promote your business, here is your chance. We are taking businesses, information, and put commercials right here on the show for free. Okay, so I can actually record commercials and jingles. Obviously, Nelly Baby does it better than I do. She's going to do a little jingle for you guys. You know.
And if you want that sexy voice on the line, I could do that as well.
So then, there you go. So that's her offering her services of sexy voice on the line. But if you guys want to promote your businesses and you're having a hard time because you don't know how to do it, give us a call or let us know, okay? Go to Charlie's Bunker in English because now on Facebook, it's literally Charlie's Bunker. You can't miss it. Go leave us a message and let us know if you want us to promote your business. Again, we're doing this for free. No money asked. We're not asking for any money. So you go ahead and let us know, okay? So if you don't have a business, but you know somebody who has the business, again, give us a shout out and we're more than happy to help you out, okay? With that being said, let's get into this whole mess, right? I'm going to take that as a you're holding it in because we're going to talk about today for the first segment on friendships. Yeah, friendships, mm-hmm. Right? I think friendships, it's a very nice concept. You know, I don't have a lot of friends. Okay, fine. I really don't have a lot of friends. I really don't. I'll be honest with you, okay? Not because I'm lonely, not because I'm sad, or not because I'm awkward, and people have told me that I'm like Sheldon, not because Shelton. He's smart. Sheldon.
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 That's what I said, Sheldon.
Okay.
I was about to spell it, but I'm not going to spell it. No, we're not going to spell it.
Don't do that.
But, going back to the friendship, but I do have some pretty cool friends. They're not listening to the show. That's how cool they are, okay?
So they're
not
listening.
Yeah, listen. That's how we roll, okay?
Forget moral support for friends, huh?
No, forget that. We don't roll like that, okay? My friends don't roll like that, okay? Honestly, dude. One of them, let me tell you a story about my friends, okay? So one day we were actually we went to a soccer game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were playing, and he gets elbowed on the face, right? So then he gets his upper lip cut. Like, literally, it was about half an inch, and it was deep. It was the lip just completely cut, right? So I'm concerned because he's my buddy, right? So what do? I drive him from Dalton, where we used to play by Indiana, and then I drive him back here to the hospital, right? But when we got to the hospital, it was me, my friend who got hurt, and another guy who's also a friend of ours who actually happened to drive after the game. And the doctor was a very good-looking doctor. It's a female doctor. So my friend is flirting with a doctor. So, you know, as they're having the conversation, they're laughing, ha ha ha, he he he. The doctor comes in, puts the anesthesia on my other friend's lip, who's hurt. And then, you know, as we're talking and, you know, joking around, because again, she's pretty cool, we completely wore out the time of the anesthesia. So when she started, the effect was starting to pass, right, of the anesthesia. So then the doctor goes and says, "Is it hurting?" And then my friend says, "Yes. Can you give me some more anesthesia?" And then she goes, "No, I can't."
She fucked up.
So then, obviously, because we're such great friends, we started making fun of him and him going through pain because of, you know, the anesthesia weren't enough. And, I mean, half an inch of a cut, like, of a gosh, it's not a big deal.
Uh-huh.
But when you're getting stitches, it's a pretty big deal. So
especially if it's deep.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it was deep. It was like, literally, he looks like, what are they called? The one where they're having their
cleft note.
There you go. He looked just like that. It was like that big. My Lord. We still remember that story up to today, and we still crack about it. So I'm going to give my special shout out to my friends, Ricardo and Alonso, because they're the two guys who were there at that time. And it was great. It had to be them. So in general, I only have, that I could say, five friends tops, okay? And a lot of people think that that's not many. Because nowadays, people are used to having a ton of friends, especially with social media,
mm-hmm.
where you have like 400 people in your Facebook.
But you only talk to two.
We only talk to two. Literally, Facebook only shows me like chess group and another group of electricity and blah, blah, blah. And the next thing you know, I only have one or two people that look at me, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the show and whatnot. But then it you know, Nelly Baby said we should talk about friendships. Why do you want to talk about friendships?
I don't know. It's out of the norm. Like, it just came out of nowhere. I saw an article on Facebook, and it just came up on the differences of characteristics of or levels of friends. And I'm like, there's levels of friends?
We are just, my friends and I are just somebody who just pretty much burn each other all the time. So I guess there's levels. I mean,
I guess, cause, you know, you have friends that are off and on, you know, once in a seasonal that want to hang out.
I guess. But that led us to do the research, right? Because we wanted to say, listen, why do we want to talk about friends? And then Nelly Baby here went and did the research, okay? And she found out that Aristotle, which he was Plato's student, star student, teacher's pet, he characterized friendships as in three divisions,
mm-hmm.
of utility, pleasure, and of the goods. Now, don't think wrong. This is not of the goods. Just you know, when they do something good for you, that's pretty much what it goes.
The goods,
good. The goods, good. Not the goods, but just the goods, right? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, right? But let's start with the first one, utility. He described it as receiving a benefit for an exchange. I think that's the most common one right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What can you do for me?
Nothing.
Yeah, I can't be my friend.
I mean, I can be your friend. I give you companionship. I give you laughter. I give you... I mean, we don't need the air there. You know, help me out. We don't need dead air. I mean, there must be other things that I do. I mean, come on.
You're right, I guess. You're right.
Whatever. You know, whatever. But again, receiving a benefit of exchange. I think that's the most common one. I think that nowadays with social media, you send each other likes and dislikes and whatever.
Corazoncitos.
But really, they don't have a really deep friendship. Someone you can trust and do that. Only what is convenient for you and what you can get out of that person and mm-hmm. vice versa. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, for the friendship of utility, yeah, it's basically what can I get out of you? And once I'm done with you, I guess I'm just going to put you in the side because you're no longer needed. So I think it's, with today's generation, I think it's a lot more like friendships or people, shall I say, are really selfish when it comes to friendship.
But do you think social media has something to do with it? Because, I mean, nowadays, you get to follow somebody on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram and you see their pictures, you do a like, but there is no interaction.
No, there's none.
So nowadays, the new currency, as I like to call it, it's the like currency where you mm-hmm. the more likes you have, business actually see you as somebody who can be an influencer and then they give you money mm-hmm. to sell their product. So they're looking for that. That's the exchange yeah. when it comes to the utility.
How many likes you have and how popular you are to social media.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how well you could sell the goods.
That sounds wrong.
But, you know.
That is what my fans page is for. How good you can sell the goods.
Hey, I'm trying to get that fans only.
Hey, listen, whatever you do, it's your thing, man. I'm just going to stick with the podcast and the whole Facebook thing. But do you think that nowadays friendships still do exist, even though with the utility being the major one? Do you think they still exist, friendships, mm-hmm. true friendships? Like My Little Pony friendship, The Power of Friendship?
No. Because I can tell you, like, well, like you, I have friends under the, I could count them in my fingers, five fingers, one no, hand.
But my friends are cool.
Yeah. I stole your friends.
I guess. You know, that's true. She did steal my friends. That's messed up. Wow.
But, Dang. You rarely find those people that will literally, like, pick you up from the floor and give you a call when they know that you're not feeling good. You don't get a lot of that. And when you do, it's one out of what? A dime?
Yeah, but then if that's the most, if I think that's the most common one, then why would you expect that? I mean, why is it to be expected for somebody to bring that sort of friendship to the table? Because it could be seen from both ways. Maybe you're not providing that, in that sense, that kind of friendship. I'm not saying you're not. I'm just mm-hmm. saying, hypothetically speaking, what if that person doesn't see it like that either?
But what if I'm giving more than I should be to this person? I don't get it reciprocated back.
So what makes you give all that and not receive anything?
Because when I love someone, either being in a friend or in a friendship or in a relationship, I love hard.
Yeah, I don't love my friends.
Well, that's your form of friendship. But I care for mine. I'm like, if I truly do love you as a friend, I literally give my all. If I have to, I could give my shirt that's on my back if you need it.
But I guess you have to learn to distinguish which one is utility. Because if they're only asking things from you and they're not giving them in return, why would you give more?
I don't know. I guess I'm just accustomed to that. Like, here. If I could give it to you, I'll give it to you. But I guess I guess I should.
That's what she said.
Yeah. I guess I should, like, just separate and start, you know, being more selfish.
Uh-huh.
And not really, like, depend that people to give me what I give them.
But do you think selfish is the right way to go? I don't know. I mean, am I selfish?
No.
I thought I was about to say, if you burn me live, man, if you burn me on my show.
But sometimes you can be.
No, I can admit to that.
But it's not being selfish. Not. You're very introverted.
Yes, I am. for you guys. They're like, really? Him? Yeah. If you see him, I have a resting B face. I can't curse because there's kids listening to the show, but I have a resting B face, and people do believe that I'm angry all the time. That's probably why I don't have a lot of friends either. It's like, this dude's always angry. Why is he always angry?
And that's why I get the messages like, dude, why are you hanging around with this guy? He's always so mad. I'm like, can you relax your friend's face? I'm like, I can't do that. It's not my face.
I know. Have they told you that? What the hell?
Yeah. Literally message. Ding. Can you tell your friend to stop walking the halls? What?
Ouch. Okay. So pleasure. Okay. The friendship of pleasure. It's the emotional source that has. Disclosure. Again. Pleasure. Emotional source that has most in common. Short-lived, last true mutual interest. What do you think on that?
I think it's for the younger ages.
You think?
I think so. It's those teeny boppers or 20-somethings that, you know, hey, you want to meet up? Give me a call. After work, we could go party. Or after school, let's go play a game or something. And then once those interests are out of the way, guess what? You ain't my friend no more.
Yeah, but you know what?
And I guess that's when the clicks occur.
Okay, but yeah, I mean, I can see that because I remember when I was in elementary school, I only had a couple of friends again, and we had a lot of things in common. We used to go play video games. We used to do a bunch of other stuff and talk about shows and whatnot. Well, pretty much what I do with my other friends now. I think it hasn't changed a lot. It hasn't changed a lot. But once I graduated from eighth grade and I moved to another side of town, I remember that this friend in particular, he was my really good friend, and I wanted to hang around with him. But then one day I went to his house and he felt awkward, right? Yeah. He felt extremely awkward. And then I said, I don't think I want to come back here. But then I asked him, like, hey, man, do you want to go to my house sometime? Thinking that maybe that can still connect us as friends. And then he said, you know what? No, it's a bit far, and I don't think I have time. And I said, okay, cool. A week later, I see him literally around the corner where I used to live, and he was playing with some friends of him that used to go to the same school with him, right? And because before he went to my school, he was in another school, and he was close to the house, so then he was around there. And it did hurt. I was like, what the heck? So that taught me that that not everybody's going to be there for you all the time, right? So years later, when I was like about to get married, I went in and my mother asked me to invite his mother because they kept in touch. Not me, but they kept in touch. And I invited them and they went to my wedding, but we were like two strangers at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, then once I was in high school, I met my friend Minor and Alonso and Francisco, and we just clicked, right? And Minor, you could say now in terms that nowadays, he was my bully in my freshman year. But then again, we became great friends, and we had this friendship for now.
Forever?
I'm 40, and I met him when I was 14. So, so 26 years. So I had this friend for 26 years. 26 years. I mean, time flew.
Man, Miner's a keeper, I guess.
I guess. But and Alonso, too, and Francisco, too. And, you know, the therapist who was in our show last week, I've also met her in high school, so I've had these people that I kept in touch for many years. But that's what I'm saying. We met through, one of them was through video games, the other one was through shows. Minor and Alonso, I met them through soccer, and then the other ones were because we were going to high school, and that was the thing back then. But yeah, I felt like other people in high school, I didn't keep in touch as much anymore because I didn't feel connected after that.
Yeah.
So what about you?
High school, I kind of blended in all the groups.
You're one of those.
Emo.
You were a traitor.
Gangbangers.
Oh, boy.
Hipsters. You know.
I hated those.
But, hey, I was cool. I was a funny fat girl in the high school, so it's okay. But from all of those, like social media and Facebook, yeah, I have my high school friends there, but we don't keep in touch. We'll say here and there we like each other's pictures and, you know, see how, you know, their kids are doing nowadays. But yes, they're friends, but not deep, profound friends. I appreciate them all. I love them all, but not a you know, we're not together like all the time. It's, you know, one of those reunions. Because I didn't really go to my high school reunion.
I did. I got wasted. Oh. I don't remember. After no. the 13 double shots, I don't remember until the next, like, what the heck happened?
Yeah.
Good times.
No, I didn't go to my high school reunion. I felt awkward. I didn't want to. Most of the people that I graduated with, we don't have similar interests anymore.
So how would you explain to your kid mm-hmm. when he's going through this process of finding friends and whatnot, how would you explain this whole thing, the pleasure and the utility? Like, what advice can you give him? Because I remember my mother said to me, you never have friends. Your only friend is a dollar in your pocket. That's what she said to me.
But I have a dollar, though.
Is it your friend?
I'm going to get a pickle.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, you can change your dollar. Apparently, you're not the best friend for the dollar because you're going to change the dollar for the pickle, I guess. You failed, Mom. You failed.
Hey, I tell my kid, I'm like, be you. Don't be mean. Don't make fun. Don't be a bully. You know, and I know you don't like that word, and I really don't like it either. But I tell him, you know, be you. And thank God my kid is a nerd. That's what I'm saying. Thank God my kid is a nerd.
Okay, cool. Cool. I mean, hey, to each his own. My kids, I think, they had a couple of moments where they struggled a little bit. And the best advice I could give them was, hey, listen, there's people that are going to be with you mm-hmm. for a period. There's going to be people that are going to be there just for whatever they can get out of you. And there's going to be people who's going to stay with you for the rest of your life. And again, my friend Minor, dude, I couldn't stand him in the beginning. Oh, man, I couldn't stand him. But now, ironically speaking, he is like a brother to me. So yeah. Him and again, Alonso, even though I don't speak to him, I speak to him once in a blue moon. Even he told me the last time I saw him, I was like, hey, man, how come you don't talk to me? You know, it's funny because one day I was taking him home and he's like, hey, man, how come you never go to my house? How come you never go to my house? And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, you never go to my house. And I said, Mofo, if you invite me to your house, I'll go to your house. Like, I don't even know where you live.
Like, why don't you love me, man?
Yeah, why don't you love me? Why don't you love me, Charlie? I'm like, because it's you, bro. I mean, snap. I got to, you know, bust the chops like Nelly Baby says. But then we get into the third category, right? The friendship of the good. Mm-hmm. Now, again, guys, we're not talking about the goods. We're talking about
the goods.
Not the good goods, but the goods, right?
Mm-hmm.
For example, this is a definition that he gave it, right? They last until the end based on mutual appreciation of the virtues that the other party admires. Empathy and care for others, taking time and mutual growth.
Mm-hmm.
Now that, it's a friendship.
Yeah.
What I've known. Because, again, and that's why I feel so proud that I only have certain people in my life that I can call friends. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I do discuss with my significant others and my family and whatnot. Because they're like, man, you know, you're very antisocial. You don't communicate. You don't go with people. And I said, yeah, but it's not that I want to be antisocial. It's the fact that I just know how to pick my friends. It's what we give each other. If they help me grow, I help them grow. If mm-hmm. there's a moment in my experience where you're only taking from me yeah. and I'm not getting anything from you, I'm going to cut you off right there. No questions asked, no arguments, nothing. One day, I just vanished. The next thing you know, like, hey, what the hell happened to Charlie? Oh, he's still around. Never again do I see these people.
Wow.
And, I mean, it sounds bad.
It sucks.
It sucks. It sucks,
but you have to put yourself first.
But again, I mean, I've been the type of friend that, unfortunately, I have done that to people. I had a friend from high school, and I hope they're listening to the show. Shout out to Ruston and Henry Arroyo. And, yeah, his name was Henry. No, listen. one of the things that I do feel bad about them too is because they were my friends in high school too, and we used to talk about nothing but anime,
mm-hmm.
and we used to go roller skating and we used to have a great time, right? And Henry went to my wedding too, and I just out of the blue I just stopped talking to him, and we were so close, and up to this day I do feel bad because I should have kept in touch, should have been yeah. a better friend. Some things happen and I just couldn't do it.
Yep.
And I was one of those friends. So I can honestly say that it's two sides of this coin, right? But when you actually do find that person that it's a really good friend and he helps you out, calls you on your bull crap, because those are the type of friends you want. Like, hey, listen, man, I love you and all, you're my homie and everything, but you're messing up. And mm-hmm. this is why. And you might, and listen, you might feel like, this punk, what the hell is wrong with this guy? But they're keeping it real.
Yeah.
And those are the ones that I think you like. Well, not you, but in general.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you that I had trials and tribulations and losses in life. And when I really needed them the most, I literally had them next to me. You know, my mom passed a while back, and people that I didn't think that would show up to her funeral actually did show up. And these were friends from elementary school. You know, thank you to, I'm not sure if they'll listen, is Orlando and Anna, who've been literally together forever mm-hmm. from childhood and still married.
They got married when they were children?
Yeah, literally, almost out of high school.
Oh, okay.
Or not even eighth grade.
They got married at eighth grade?
Yeah.
They got married at eighth grade.
Well, not really married, but afterwards they were married once they turned 18.
I was like, I'm pretty sure that's illegal.
You know what I mean. They've literally been together since they were 14.
Okay, fine.
Maybe 12.
Kill my joke, fine.
And then, of course, I've had my friend Crystal that I've known since high school, freshman year. And she was there because she knows what loss of a mother was. You know, she experienced it. And I thank her for being there for me. And that at around that time, like, we weren't together or we didn't hang out like we used to. But she came to see me, you know. And my third one, it was Melissa came and Jasmine. But, you know, at those times and moments, you really don't remember the blurs.
Yeah, no, that's...
But yeah, I appreciate it. And those were the friendships that I think where they literally spent hardships, laughs, you know, hugs, good times, beer, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no. And the beer.
Yeah,
the beer. And yeah, and I think that nowadays people get stuck on the utility and the pleasure. Like you said, mainly youngsters. But utility is what I'd see the most. It's... Hey, man, let's go get a beer, and mm-hmm. then you go have fun, you go dancing, you just joke around, and then the moment things get hard, they bail.
Yeah.
And that's what I see most commonly. I'm sorry. I should have lowered both microphones before I sneeze. I only lowered mine. But and that's sad. That's sad because, honestly, a lot of people are not going to experience what a true friendship is. I mean, I want to assume that I'm mistaken. I want to think that I'm mistaken. I hope I'm mistaken. But the way I see things, it's pretty much where it's going. And some people do not want to wait for the time to actually find a friend of the good. Not the good goods, but the good.
Yeah, because I believe in, just like people have soulmates in relationships, marriages, I believe there's soulmates in friendships.
I think so, too. I think that one of the things that we make a mistake is it's thinking that a friend, it's like an ATM, and that when they don't have the expectation of our obligations, then we start getting upset. And again, I already said it. When they do that to me, when I'm giving and giving and giving, and they don't even consider saying hi or anything, even if it's on social media or in person, mm-hmm. I'll be like, listen, you know what? Boom, I'll cut you off. And I have a reputation when it comes to being a friend because that's what I want people to believe, to think. Because I am not just going to be this dumbass who is going to be given everything and then the next thing you know, people are taking advantage. Because that's one of the things that happens, too, with people. They take advantage of whatever they have, and the next thing you know, you're empty-handed. So, yeah, I say avoid that. But there's also some good people out there that can actually do make you feel like you are an important person, and they grow with you, and you can call them both on their stuff. I remember that minor in 2002 when we were watching the World Cup, we got into this huge fight. And if it weren't for an Alonso, we wouldn't be talking to each other at this point. And again, this guy is like my brother, man. So I appreciate that. And one of the people that I met also as a friend of mine was my wife. So therefore, again, I have a lot of people who I've known for years. And good or bad, I'm still in their life, I guess. they put up with me. So yeah. So what do you want to say to close this topic? Because, I mean, it's interesting.
Yeah, so... Guys, yeah, whatever you want or however you want to be treated, just like you want to give that certain type or you have that certain type of definition of a friendship, remember that people want the same back.
Yep. All right, guys. So we have an actual – the playlist already done. We're going to thank Tina Perez. This week because and she's the one that was about
So there you go, Tina. You got a remix too.
Yeah. Tina Perez was the person of the week who sent me her playlist. I'm sorry I'm speaking slowly, like I'm being sarcastic, but in reality, in the place of Mexico that I'm from, if I get excited, I start talking like that, like I did before I started speaking normally. So Tina, thank you for giving us your list, and we're going to start with your music for the entire section and all the rest that's coming up. All right, guys? So wait for our next segment, and we'll be back.
With Nelly, baby.
And we're back. Yes, you capture that. She was doing the little beep popping. And I decided to press the record button now, and you capture a little bit of what she does in the meantime while we're listening to music.
This is what happens when you don't eat.
Exactly. That's what happens when you starve yourself to death the entire day. Hey, you got to do what you got to do. Okay. Second segment. This is a little controversial. We're going to try to keep it civil, okay? That's why we started with the friendship, because we wanted to bring, you know, a nice side of us. Mm-hmm. So you can think that we're not, you know, buttholes all the way. A little
Speak
bit.
Speak for yourself, no, sir.
Excuse me, all right? There's some a little bit of you because you hang around with me and you tolerate all of this. So therefore.
Well, I was told that I would turn into a butthole since I hung out with you. So I guess. Affiliation wise.
You're welcome. Okay. We're going to try to keep it civil. Okay. So this is a topic that I saw on Twitter. Okay. It grabbed my attention because I think it's ridiculous. Okay. If you are a person who believes in this, I'm sorry. Not to offend you. I swear it's not to offend you. But I'm going to take the opportunity to argue why this idea is wrong, okay? The topic is why men are hesitant to do CPR on women because they're afraid of being accused of rape, okay? That's a strong word. Why? I don't think that being accused of rape, it's the proper thing to do. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a very serious accusation, okay? Mm-hmm. And I can totally understand why women will feel like that. Again, you being vulnerable on the floor, unconscious, right? And mm-hmm. a man, a stranger, will come to you while you're in your most vulnerable state and start raping your breast, if mm-hmm. that is what they're afraid of, okay? But you're dying. Mm-hmm. You're literally dying. I'm not saying, oh, you know, maybe she fainted. No, you're dying. Mm-hmm. So I want to touch first the differences between being unconscious and literally having a cardiac arrest. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give you the microphone because you're an expert. You are an instructor of CPR. So please enlighten
Am I?
Us.
Am I?
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
But the thing is, why since we're going to pull the Gen Z... thing.
Before we go into that, because again, I'm telling you, we're going to try to keep it civil and we're going to try to keep it civil and we're going to try to keep it in a timeline.
I'll keep it in the female topic.
I can relate. Hold on. I can relate on the fact that you're vulnerable and you're literally pushing on the woman's, mm-hmm. on the woman's breast because mm-hmm. unfortunately God or the creator or science or whoever decided to put that vital organ right between your boobies. Okay, that's just pretty much how
boobies?
It goes. Breast. Yes.
Chesticles.
Fine, chesticles. But again, what is the difference between somebody being unconscious and somebody having a cardiac arrest?
Okay, unconscious or unresponsive.
Yes.
Okay, is somebody who is not breathing.
Mm-hmm.
They are pulseless, if you could read a pulse. Because not everybody is a healthcare provider.
So where do you read a pulse?
And in the carotid neck,
which is
area.
The neck. Okay. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And you're unresponsive, not breathing, or gasping. Or agonal breathing is a form of gasping, which is your early signs of a cardiac arrest because you're not really breathing.
Okay. So you're walking down the street, mm-hmm. right? Okay. I'm walking down the street, and then I see somebody on the floor.
Yep.
The video says to go and check and say, ma'am, are you okay? Ma'am, are you okay?
Okay.
And then I check the pulse. Mm-hmm. There's no pulse.
You have 5 to 10 seconds to feel or detect the pulse.
Yes. And I find no pulse. Mm-hmm. So then technically this person, it's not having heartbeat, right? Mm-hmm. So then at that point, I call for 911 or rescue and start chest compression, right? So it's 30 to 2.
Yes.
Unless they change the rules.
30 compressions. Uh-huh. Because you not everybody knows CPR.
Okay.
30 compressions are 30 presses on the chest with two breaths.
Okay. So now, let's say, for example, this person it's unconscious and it is breathing, right?
Yes.
Okay. And it does have a heartbeat.
Okay. If they have a heartbeat, then they're having difficulty breathing.
Yes.
So you're going to give mouth to mouth.
Yes.
It's called rescue breathing.
Got it. So where do you think that they'd be considered rape?
I'm guessing because they're not fully trained. Because if you look at it, you're not really touching the breast when you're doing compressions. When you're starting to, depending on if you're dealing with an adult victim, you're going to be doing what? You're doing two hands interlaced, working as a unit in the middle of the chest, or which is your spine, where your spine should be, and pressing on the chest. Up and down, letting the chest recoil each and every time. You're not really touching a breast.
Now, there is an article on Yahoo News that states, researchers from the University of Colorado surveyed people on their attitudes in the wake of the hashtag MeToo movement. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's where the problem starts. Interviews said, among the other things, that they feared being accused of inappropriate touching or sexual assault, the researchers found. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, again, this is a man's perspective saying, I don't want to touch this person because they're going to accuse me of touching them inappropriately or literally sexual assault. Now, you explained that you're not touching anything.
Touching the breasts. And also, you have the law that will also help you during any form of situation like that. It's called the Good Samaritan Law. If by any chance this person is unresponsive and they're not breathing, they're technically dead.
I understand that.
Okay. So my job, being a provider, I'm CPR certified. My job is I have the right to start doing compressions because you cannot tell me no at the moment.
Yes. So I guess that'll be the technicality of the matter. If you are literally dying and you can't say no, then it's not rape because they're literally saving your life.
Yes.
So, again, as a man, I feel like now the odds are stacked against us because I have a daughter. And if my daughter happens to be, you know, passed out and she has a cardiac arrest, as a father, I want somebody to give her that resuscitation mouth to mouth and those chest compressions. Mm-hmm. And if somebody is afraid of doing that because of the accusation of rape and they let my daughter die, I'll be pretty pissed.
Yeah, because if you look at it, the percentage of you even doing any form of CPR, you have exactly 4 minutes.
4 minutes?
4 minutes.
That's not a lot.
After 4 minutes, you got permanent brain damage. And after 4 minutes, from 4 to 6 minutes later, you're automatically considered dead.
See, that's sad because if you are a man and you're walking by a person that's a woman that's on the floor and unresponsive and you're afraid of being accused of rape or sexual assault or whatnot, definitely you're not going to resuscitate that person. So that's a danger to everybody because nowadays people being afraid of that Me Too movement, and I'm not taking credibility of the Me Too movement. Okay, let's make that clear. The Me Too movement has a lot of strong arguments where, yes, we can approve and we can agree with you and say, listen, yeah, they have a solid argument. I will agree to that. Mm-hmm. But if you're telling me that your movement is supporting the people dying and letting them die, I cannot go behind that.
Especially if it means a child.
That's right.
Yeah, because if you look at it, 6.2% of children less than 1 year old have the possibility of surviving if you perform CPR on them.
See, and if you're one of those people that you don't want your children being touched inappropriately, obviously I'm talking about in the CPR context, and you think that your child's being molested, definitely somebody is not going to take the chance. And obviously you cannot judge that right at that moment. But when you do the CPR and you save the child, and the next thing you know, you're having dinner in your family, and then bam, they hit you with a court order because you're being accused of sexual assault or being arrested, that's kind of messed up. That would be kind of messed up because you literally just save a life.
Yeah, yeah. It's a hard topic because, again, I'd rather my child, if something did occur to them or to him, that somebody do start CPR, especially if I'm not in an area where I'm able to even start it myself. No?
Yeah. And I saw, like I said, I saw this in Twitter from a young lady, and she was very strongly about it, that we shouldn't allow people, men, obviously, to do CPR. Now, I'm thinking, when you're on the floor and you're unresponsive, I'm guessing gravity will take its toll, right? I mean, well, probably the breast will tilt towards the sides, and they will leave that area of the chest open, and you can do whatever you need to do. Because, I mean, I'll be honest, if you're doing CPR, there will be some handling of that area of the chest, because it's, you can't avoid it. If you need to put the little paddles for the electricity for the AED, which is what?
The AED.
Yeah. That's what I said?
Yes.
Okay.
It's an automatic external defibrillator used for anybody, healthcare provider and non, to shock effectively a shockable heart rhythm. So it actually proves the possibility and survival of the person. Even before you even start CPR, you can use an AED if you have it available, because it improves the outcome.
And one of the things that, and she didn't want to touch this subject, but I'm going to touch it briefly, and I'm going to relate this to what's going on currently now in this week with the shooting of the 13-year-old kid here in Chicago. The police officer decided to do CPR on the kid, and the first thing that the baby here noticed is he doesn't do it properly, okay? Mm-hmm. So I said at least he was trying to do something. Okay, besides the point of whatever happened before we got to that point, irrelevant, we're talking about the actual act of him providing that CPR to help this kid, right? If you do not provide CPR properly, if you're not trained, or if you're trained and you're not doing it correctly, what are the consequences? What could happen?
Broken ribs, loss of oxygen to the brain, you're not doing compressions correctly. You're not making blood flow and circulation.
Yeah, and I was about to ask you, what is the importance of having the chest compressed? Because I don't know. When I took the class originally, I didn't see the importance. I thought that by pressing the chest, you will make the lungs pop. Not pop, but, you know, function so they can get the air. But it's a completely different.
It's a totally different thing. So say I'm unresponsive, and like I said before, we're looking for the signs and symptoms, which is they're not breathing, there's no pulse, there's no agonal breathing at all. So guess what? You're going to be doing compressions. What is CPR? CPR is cardiac life support.
I thought you said it in Spanish. I don't know. I forgot how to say it in Spanish, to be honest with you, so I wouldn't know anymore.
Respe.
RSP? Uh-huh. Is there an S in there?
No, it's a C.
Oh, I was about to say. Wait a minute. Hold on. What? Where is the S coming from?
So basically, your heart stops working. Either it's quivering in the chest, not making enough blood flow and circulation, or second, it's going to be not moving at all. So your job is to press on the chest fast and hard and letting that chest recoil all the way. Okay? You are technically this person's heart for 2 minutes.
Yeah, so I guess the best advice we can give at this point is, if you're a man and you're scared, just realize that there is laws, literally there's a law that can save you, the Good Samaritan Act, where if you're trying to save a life, regardless of what happens, I'm guessing you're covered, right? You're protected.
Yes.
So I guess by that law, any accusation of rape will not be valid? Is that, I mean, I don't know if you know.
It's going to get thrown out but why is it only a woman, though?
I mean, I don't think a man will feel raped if you're, you're not going to touch the good. I think you're going to be touching the breast area. I mean, why will a man feel raped or assaulted?
Because the first thing you want to do is, because if you're doing first aid training, the first thing you want to do is look around and search for any form of identity or bracelet to let you know if this person is has seizures or if they have any allergies and stuff like that. That's your role, first time first.
Okay.
If you're diabetic, you need to have a medical bracelet or something identification to let me know.
Okay.
Okay. So if this woman is looking for any form of identification to let me know this man has become unresponsive. So while I'm fondling for this bracelet,
I think at that point, if that would have been me and somebody's fondling me, I think I'd be more grateful that I'm actually alive and I'll be like, oh my God, you know? I guess my first response would be, man, why wasn't I awake? I guess. I don't know.
But
I mean,
see, that's being, people don't think of it that way. It's funny because it's a woman to a man.
Yeah. But
it could be the same thing, though.
Yeah. And but true.
There are female pedophilers or female rapists.
True. But I mean, I guess also it comes to the point where men, like, I forgot the percentage, but I mean, the majority of men do not see that as rape, you know? So,
even, but why is it not seen as rape though?
Because we're just taught that men don't get raped. That's pretty much what the society.
So it's normal for a person to take their child to a strip joint and.
Well, that's different. That's different. We're talking about you being unconscious and like, oh my God, somebody touched me. I mean, that's different. If you're conscious, but if you're a kid, that the rule changes because a kid does not know. Well, I want to believe that does not know exactly what they're getting themselves into, and that could be considered a sexual assault because the impact mentally will be more tremendous on a young boy than an older man. So if a man is laying on the floor and unconscious, and a woman comes in and starts searching for his identification. And then he wakes up in the middle. She's like right between his legs. I mean, I guess I'll be like, oh my God, what the heck's going on?
So if the man gets excited while he's getting fondled while he's unresponsive, would that mean
rape? I don't think a man will be getting excited while he's.
You never know.
You think? I mean, you have to be conscious for that.
You never know.
Have you ever heard somebody getting excited when they're being unconscious?
No, but what if he's not unconscious and he's having issues breathing, but yet he gets erected because he can't really tell you, hey, I'm having an asthma attack.
Well, I guess at that point, the most concerning thing will be not to look for his identification. It would be more to call 911 and go and search for help instead of getting the ID, right?
I guess, but that would also be considered rape, right?
Why? I mean, he doesn't know.
What makes it any different if it's a female or a male, though?
Because females have a more exposed part on the upper chest versus men. I mean, you wouldn't be on the bottom of below the belt if you're unconscious. Were you going to blow him up like Odo?
You know, there's a couple people that I've seen that actually straddle the patient, which they're doing it wrong, but they straddle them and start doing compressions.
But why,
though? Because if you look at the video, the police officer was straddling him while he was doing compressions.
Yeah, but he lifted up the shirt, which is more understandable because he got shot in the chest,
mm-hmm.
right? But if let's say, for example, he gets shot in the chest, and you're pulling his pants down, like, wait a minute, what the hell's going on here, right? Why would you be searching another part of the body that doesn't belong to the area you're treating? Now, that itself...
Same thing with the breast.
I guess. No, but I get it. You know, it's the same thing with the breast. But, I mean, if you need to see the chest coming up and down and you have really loose clothes, you have to take it off to see if the chest is coming, is rising, mm-hmm. right? I mean, if you're unresponsive and you're on the floor and you're, you know, unconscious. And I think, you know, like, let me see if you're breathing. And you pull their pants down. Like, wait a minute. I'm not a doctor here.
I don't know. That question there, it seems a little sexist to me.
Which one?
How come it's only women that could be rape victims?
Because it's the Me Too movement. It's the Me Too movement.
Okay, but then what if it's not, if the Me Too movement never existed?
Then I guess at this point, we wouldn't be having this conversation because they're the ones that brought it up.
Yeah, but also I think men also get raped.
I believe that, yes. Also, men get raped, but the statistics say...
And it's
say
not always a female that rapes
that
them.
That is true. And the statistics say that men do not accuse... They don't actually make a file complaint of rape. And that's the statistic.
And we need to make that a norm, though. because that also is not fair.
But why would you need to make the decision of rape on a man normal?
Because it happens.
Yeah, I get it, but I feel like for a man, it does happen. Okay, let me choose my words carefully because I know that I'm gonna screw this one up. For a man, in our generation, they taught us to keep emotions in check.
Okay.
And I understand that at this time, if you are raped or you're touched in a place where you don't like, you have to let somebody know. Mm-hmm. That's from the get-go. Okay.
Yes.
If this is my advice, if you are experiencing rape or sexual assault, or they just make you feel uncomfortable.
No
matter what gender you are, you have to report it. The statistics say, and this is true, that men do not report rape. I think it's only 13% of men. That's a ballpark. That they do report rape, but it has to be something drastic for them to say, listen, I am getting raped. And for men, it's mainly other men who are doing the raping, mm-hmm. not the women. Mm-hmm. Because hold that thought. I'm going to get to that. Because for a man to feel raped by a woman, it does happen, but it has to be really uncomfortable for them. And it does happen, okay? I'm not saying it doesn't. It does happen. But in the man mentality, because, again, to me, in my perspective, in our generation, we are hunters. Because the more women we had, the more manly we are. And going back to the environment of a man, mm-hmm. back in our generation, in my age, If you didn't want to have any sexual intercourse with anyone and you're forced to, that technically is a rape.
Mm-hmm.
But if your friends are pushing you and you do it, then you are falling into the peer pressure,
mm-hmm.
even though you're being raped. But do you want to be ridiculed by your friends and saying, no, I don't want to do this because I feel in a certain way? So men, we were taught not to feel. So that's the dilemma in this case. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm saying that it's harder for a man to open up emotionally than mm-hmm. a woman. So that's why it's less probable to be accused of rape.
Okay.
You don't agree with what I said? You don't? Okay. And it's fine. It's fine. Listen, I don't wanna say that I'm right. All I'm saying is that just like I can't put myself in a position of a woman and say this is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that women cannot be in the position of a man because you don't know exactly how our world is either.
Yeah.
So I feel that if you want to be a man and you wanna accuse somebody of rape, it's totally understandable. It has to be done. I'm not saying you shouldn't. You should do it. If you feel rape or you feel uncomfortable, you go ahead and you know, make the complaint.
It's okay.
It's okay. But it's hard. And that's what women do not understand. For us, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that we need to break something in within our psyche and our emotions for us to do it. We are exposed and we feel very strongly about how we deal with this. So that's why the statistics say that men are not probable to accuse somebody of rape. They'd rather live with the guilt and the shame than actually accuse it. So that's what I'm saying. If a lady comes by and starts searching for my ID when I'm unconscious, and then I wake up and like, holy cow, thank you for raping me, because at least I know I'm alive. But if that's the topic, right? So if I'm going to survive, at that point, just let me die. What the hell? I mean, again, you could disagree with me. It's a very sensitive topic.
It is.
Because either way we say it, it's going to be wrong.
Yeah.
It's going to be wrong.
Because not everyone's going to agree to either.
Exactly.
To be
politically correct, I want to tell you guys that right now we are in the middle of a transition of generation. Okay, the things that nowadays are seen 10 years ago was not the case.
Mm-hmm.
To us, this is something new. The 40s and 30s and 50s, this is something new. Okay. It's hard for us to get into it. It's hard for us to understand it. Again, we're in the middle of the old ways versus the new ways. And the new guys do not understand what we go through. Yeah. And the old guys never got what we went through. So we're in the middle of it. And this is a transitional stage. So just keep up with us. Because there's some of us, like me, who are still having a hard time dealing with all of this.
Yeah.
because I have young children and they're going through this transition, but I'm also rooted in my beliefs and the way I grew up. And I understand that some things are hard and some things have to change. They have to change, but they're not going to change overnight. And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right. So I think we're going to close it right here because now with that being said, we are going to touch the other subject.
So just before we
go
get out of the topic, mm-hmm. Guys, remember CPR is used to save a life. I know it's a topic that's kind of difficult when it comes to rape and female, but remember, this could be somebody's parent, somebody's loved one, somebody's child. Okay. Whatever you can do, if you are properly trained, please do CPR. Or if you need to learn, okay, or if you want to learn, you could always send me an email if you're in the Chicago-based area and we could get together for any one of my classes if you are interested in a CPR class.
Yes, which I recommend you do. Now, before we leave, I'm going to throw the monkey wrench to this whole mess that we created. Which I forgot what it was. Thank goodness. All right. I literally was about to shoot myself in the foot on this one, guys.
But, again?
Again. Right? We'll be back after this. All right, guys, we're back. Again, I want to thank Tina Perez for the music. I like the Pearl Jam one. It was pretty dope. Awesome music. Okay. So we had a little issue with the CPR one, and as you notice... I got a little, stuck there. And since we are already on a roll, let's talk about our next topic, which is non-binary, okay? My son, we're going to start this topic by saying that my son, we are having a conversation about 3 weeks ago or so, and he said to me, hey, you should talk in your show about only being two genders, right? And I said, okay, no, I don't want to talk about that because that's going to open a whole can of worms that I am not ready to do, okay? Mm. Because I'm barely starting, and the next thing I want to know is throw a freaking truck of gasoline into a forest fire. I don't want to do that. But then somebody sent it to the show. Coincidentally, somebody did send it to the show. It's like, hey, listen, why don't you talk about this, all right? So I said I couldn't say no. So we were having breakfast with one of my family members, and he is in favor of this movement, which is a very honored thing to do. And I did ask him, listen, I'm from a previous generation. I'm trying to get ahead of or catching up to all the ideas that are coming out so rapidly. I would like to ask you, what does this mean? And he gave me a little bit of an example of what it meant. And to be honest with you, it did intrigue my curiosity to learn a little bit more about the topic. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that I got more confused than anything because all the research that I did, it was very, very, very all over the place.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the non-binary?
Non-binary, well, it starts off with the root because where does non-binary come from? I am familiar with the LGBTQ community. Before there was added other syllables into it, you know, I don't want to disrespect anybody. I truly honor your beliefs and your thoughts. And I consider myself part of, I'm not going to say of the community, but I am in the words of the LGBTQ+. There's a reference called Ally. And Ally are people who support and are part of, who support people in the queer community.
Okay, see, that's a new one because I didn't actually get to that point of the research. I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, there's a lot. Because at first I started off with the LGBTQ from what I was familiar from me growing up. Those were the syllables that I know I'm familiar with.
Uh-huh.
With the newer familiar syllables for the LGBTQ community, sorry guys, it's a lot more stretched out, and it's LBG. Sorry, I'm starting to get illiterate too.
Uh-huh.
Well, dyslexic. LGBTQQIAAP2S. Yeah, I was, when I saw it, I was like, wow. And it stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, questioning, intersex, asexual, ally, pansexual, and two spirits.
Right. So,
so as you can see, it's a lot of information. It's a lot of information.
Literally, I just my brain just said, "That's it. I'm out." Detached from it.
And then there's a newer group.
Okay, see, there's a new one.
Jesus. And there's a newer group that are called non-labels or no labels, which they don't want to be labelized as any form of sexuality or gender.
Okay. That's a lot.
It's a lot. That's a lot. It's a lot. And trust me, like, I don't want to offend anybody. And I really cherish and value your beliefs and how you feel and what you want to identify with. And I believe, and again, guys, respect. I believe in your community.
Okay? So the
everybody
meaning
has beliefs.
The meaning
feelings.
That I got from this is relating to being. No, mm-hmm. sorry, relating to or being a person who identifies with or express a gender that is neither entirely male nor entirely mm-hmm. female.
For non-binary.
Yes. So that's what I got from it. I was like, okay, that's pretty simple. That's either you consider yourself a male, you don't consider yourself a male or a female or vice versa. Okay.
It could be between two.
Yes. So that was like, okay, what's so hard to understand on that sense? Again, duh, people in my generation who don't get this, it's very simple. And then as I went deeper into the rabbit hole, then I started realizing that, yeah, it's not that simple. It's not that simple, okay? And one of the things that I did find out, it's the gender identity, okay? So a person's gender identity is their internal sense of themselves as mm-hmm. a woman, a man, or a person out of the binary, okay? Cisgender people are those whose gender identity is the same of the gender correlated with the sex they were assigned at birth. Conversely, transgender is an umbrella term used to describe the full range of people whose gender identity does not conform the typical associated with their assigned at birth. Mm-hmm. Now, this is an article from What Does It Mean to Be Non-Binary from the LGBTQ+, the Very Well Mind article. Okay, mm-hmm. that's the quote. And here's the thing, guys. As I was doing the research, I saw a video on YouTube, and there was a young man who was trying to explain the whole thing, right? And he used smoothies, which he ate, but they were not smoothies. I don't know why he ate it.
It was foam color.
Yeah, right. And he ate it. You know, to each some. But he grabbed a pink smoothie and a blue smoothie, right? And he was given the idea that those were the two sex that we have, right? You're born a male, you're born a female, and then eventually down the line you decide you're not that, or you feel you're not that, so you start switching colors. And then he brought a whole bunch of other, you know, snow cones, and they started mixing them left and right. And then he said, one day you feel this, and one day you feel like, oh, I'm sorry. He said, one day you feel your tamarind, one day you feel your peach, one day you feel your orange, one day you feel, and I said, okay. And I'm thinking, all right, I consider myself cisgender. Okay, I will say that. But if you expect me to understand that every day of your life, you want to be assigned, or you want to be labeled, or you want to be called, or you want to be addressed as this, then there is no way for me to catch up on what you guys are saying. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to keep it real with all due respect. I am trying to understand your situation, and I'm trying to understand your the way you think. If you come to me and say, listen, I am a transgender woman or man. Mm-hmm. I want to be addressed as this. Then by respect, I will address you as you say.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, but if today you say I'm transgender, and then tomorrow you say I'm pangender, and then the next day you say I'm a man, how can I keep up with all the changes that are happening all the time? So my question is, if you're changing it and you're trying for me to understand where you're coming from, how can I do that? Why do we make it more complex than what already is? So I'll give you the microphone. What do you think?
I guess maybe now that's why a lot of workplaces are including syllables, pronouns that people want to be referred to, or like me, a woman. I refer to me as she, her. You would be he, his. Okay, there's some people that will be and that's non-binary, consider themselves them or their.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess maybe that's why they're including the pronouns in the workplace, just so there's still there's no offending people.
No, and that's okay. Like the conversation I was having with my kid, it literally went down to this. I said, listen, if you think that there's only two genders, mm-hmm. that's fine. I'm not saying that he should stay with that idea. What I'm saying to him is, okay, I'll respect what you're thinking, but let's take in consideration that some other person does not feel the way you feel.
Yeah.
So what would you say to that person? And then he'll say, well, if they're arguing that there's two genders, and, well, I'm arguing that there's two genders, and he's saying there's more than 20, then I have an issue with that. I'll say, okay, I'll give you that, all right? You're saying that you have a problem with that, but let me put it to you this way, okay? Are we talking about having two genders or two sexes in the psychological perspective, where you feel and you think you're a different gender, because they have a valid point there?
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about the social status of having a male and a gender, sex and male and female? Because they also have a strong argument there.
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about the racial status, where, yes, they also have a really strong argument there? Are you talking about the religious perspective,
mm-hmm.
where, yes, they have a really good argument there? So in which branch of all the ones that I mentioned are you talking about? And he said, well, I don't know, because I only know there's only two. I said, yes, based on what? He said, you know, books and people. I said, so you mean science, you know, physiology? He goes, yes. I said, well, just because you have a penis does not make you a man.
Mm-hmm.
Because thousands of years ago, somebody said, oh, this little person has a penis, let's call him a man. But what if that same person would have said, you have a penis, we're going to call you female? Why would you admit to the fact that that person is a female instead of a male? Well, they raised you like that. That's what we were taught. That in educationally speaking, that's what they taught us. Penis has a male, male's a penis, female's a vagina, or the XY chromosome and the XX chromosome. So science tells us that, because somebody decided to name it that way, okay? So we went into this deep conversation about how should be understanding of people, how they feel. Because mm-hmm. it's pretty much what it comes down to. It's how you feel. My question to the people that feel that way is, how do you want us to help you when your community in itself cannot determine what you are? And that's where I'm having the issue. I'm not saying you have a problem with feeling the way you feel. I respect the way you feel. I'm just trying to understand how can I see what you feel when in the community itself there is not a solid ground where you can say, yeah, this is what it is, this is how we like to be addressed, this is what it is, right?
Yeah.
And that's where I'm coming from. Because with the explanation that the other guy gave in the YouTube video, it just made it, I think it didn't do justice, because it just made it seem like they could change their mind at any day.
Yeah.
And for us, it's really hard to follow up with the current events. Forget changing them every other day.
Yeah. It's hard. Well, for me, my purpose, and it's hard for me to understand, because I'm not mentally, I know my gender. But I'm not saying, you know, I'm going to be biased and saying, yeah, I don't believe that you feel that you're not a woman or a man. You're in between. I can't really tell you you're wrong.
Yeah, no, that's a fact. We can't tell them that they're wrong, period, because, again, this is how they feel. We got to respect that. Yeah, because
I myself am a female, and maybe I'll have male tendencies, but that doesn't mean I'm non-binary.
And the thing is this. Let's say, for example, that they decide to do something like, for example, put a tag or put a sign or put something to identify them as what they want to be addressed. And I mm-hmm. mean that the noun they, as in general, depending on how you think you see yourself. But if I'm walking down the street and I see somebody with that tag, I'll be like, okay, now he or she or it or they or theirs or whatever wants to be addressed in this particular way, mm-hmm. right? But then there's going to be somebody who's going to say, oh, really? Are they going to mark us like David with the Star of David? Is that where we're coming from? Is that the point we're going to make? We're going to be tagged and labeled like in the Holocaust? Here comes Hitler all over again. So then we get into another perspective where Now they're feeling their rights violated. Yeah. And that's when we have to, again, change our mind to see what you're seeing. And it's really hard. That's what's hard about it.
Yeah. I guess this is from what I was looking at my research on YouTube, non-binary is one of the newer, how is it called? Umbrella terms.
Uh-huh.
In the queer community or the LGBTQ community, it's a newer umbrella, like a new word. And I'm guessing they're just trying to figure out where they stand.
I mean, and that's good, I guess. But if they're just coming up with these new, brand new terms, and they expect people like me to come and just understand it one day to the other, I think it's hard. I think the expectations for the general community, it's gonna be hard. Now, I don't know if you ever heard of the price law,
mm-hmm.
which means that it states that 50% of the work it's done by the square root of their people. And I'll give you this for example: if 25 people are doing a job, 5 people of that 25 people are doing 50% of the work. Mm-hmm. Okay. What is that? What am I trying to say with that? Okay, so if you have 100 people that identify with the LGBTQ
plus,
and the remainder, not to be offensive, but you know, again, I'm not keeping up with this, not because I don't want to, because it's really hard for me to remember. I'm dyslexic, first of all. Can't even spell her name, and she only has what, 5 letters. Forget the rest. I'm not, again, my span is not that long, but if you have 100 people from that community, okay? And out of that 100, okay, only 10 of them, which is a 10%, only 10 of them do 50% of the work. That means the other 90 are doing the other 50% of the work, which means that whatever the 10%, whatever those 10 people dictate of that 50%, it's the information that I'm going to receive based and representing your community, okay? Mm. So if that 10%, it's that 10 people are showing me what they think it's right and they're confusing me, there is no way I am going to grasp the whole complexity of your movement. And that's what I'm trying to say, okay? Now, do I respect it? Yes. Do I think it needs to change? Yes. And like I told my son, the issue here, in my perspective, it's not how you respect it. The issue here is that they have no social rights, and that's what I agree with this. If they want to fight for the right to have insurance,
mm-hmm.
either life insurance, medical insurance, if you're married and you want to have
your spouse in your insurance
and your will and everything that comes legally, then yes, I'm 100%. I don't care how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this should be addressed? I don't care how you feel that people should see you. I think that the best thing to do is to go to your local communities, to your congressmen, and change the rules that affect you socially.
Yeah.
You need the basic things to survive in life. And that is the right that anybody has. Not because you're gay, not because you're transgender, not because you're a lesbian, it's because you're a human being. And yeah. That's what I agree with. And that's what I told my son. It doesn't matter if you think there's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, or 8 genders. The important thing is for you to understand that they are people and they need to have rights.
And everybody should have rights.
And everybody should have mm-hmm. rights, right? So if the 10 people of the 100 people that are showing your perspective are doing this sort of work and they're giving me the information that I need from you to understand you and your perspective, and they're doing such a decent job, then they should be more active in the proper way for me yeah. to understand what you're talking about. If you're not, then I'm going to get half messages and I'm going to have the confusion that I am in today.
Yeah. That's why I say if you do not, you're not comfortable or you need more information on what labels or what syllables or what pronouns to use in the LGBTQ+ community, and you don't want to offend anybody because that's their beliefs, that's how they feel, how they are, and what they think they are, go and search it out and search it. Go to your nearest LGBTQ community and see what information's out there for you to open up if you have any form of feelings on how you don't feel comfortable, who you are and you have questions.
Mm-hmm. And I think by communicating and everything, we'll be a lot better. But if that's the case, then I think the responsibility from your side is to give us the proper information for us to actually grasp this whole complexity.
Yeah, because on YouTube, there's too much information, but not enough.
And not only that, it's very contradicting.
Mm-hmm.
It's very contradicting. Like, I've known people that said, listen, I am gay, and I'll say, cool, you're still a person, I'm going to treat you as a person. And if there is any moment, and I do tell them that, if there's any moment that I say something offensive, you tell me, listen, you kind of messed up,
mm-hmm.
you can't say this, and I'll say, I'm sorry, dude, or do that, or whatever, and I'll try to change it. But I do tell them, give me time. Give me time. It's again, my brain, it's already programmed, so I need to get myself used to this new way of expressing or behaving or whatnot, right? So I do need that time, and mm-hmm. I do tell them that straight up. And one of our good friends, you know, we're not going to say any names, but he thought I was homophobic for a while. And then eventually he's like, hey, man, listen, you know, we're cool friends, and I'm getting married, but I'm getting married to a man. Hey, would you like to come? And I said, heck yeah, man, I'll go.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, you know. And I said, why would you doubt? He's like, well, you're homophobic. I said, I never said I was homophobic. Mm-hmm. I always said it as a joke, but not because I'm a homophobic. I went to this party, and the only problem I had with this party is that there was some freaking top-notch liquor, and I ended up drinking that crappy liquor. That's the only problem I had because he didn't tell me. That's my problem. That was my problem at the wedding. That was the only problem. With that being said, I respect everybody, and I understand, and I'm trying to understand this whole new movement because, again, it's brand new. But help me help you. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And if somebody comes to me and say, listen, you know, Charlie, I'm this, address me like this, I'll say, cool, but if I messed up, call me on it respectfully, and I'll try to change it. Eventually, after 2 weeks, I'll probably get good at it, but I need that time. Anything to close?
You know, one of my favorite artists that came out a while back when I was like just fresh out of college was Lady Gaga. She's one of the great anarchies and representatives for the LGBTQ community.
Uh-huh.
And made it okay for kids or adults or anybody to say, I was born this way. It's okay. And that's one of my favorite songs on there. And I think it was somebody's request, too.
Yep, it's right there.
But, again, if you don't feel comfortable in your skin or in mental thoughts, please, guys, again, because most of the time there's a lot of violence going on right now.
Yeah.
A lot of violence. And most of, if you look it up, there's a lot of violence against, you know, in the LGBTQ community. Because I'm not going to say only it's one type. Okay, because there is our transgender community that there's been a lot of missing people and deaths because of that.
Yeah, and to you, from this side of the coin, I'll also, in a way, shape, or form, this is kind of an advice. I know you're going to encounter a lot of people who are going to be against it, and that's a given. Okay, again, that price law, it goes in both ways, right? For every 100 people who are against you, 10 people will do 50% of the work. They're going to say, we're against you. But it doesn't mean the other 90% are against you. It just means that 10% do 50% of the job to show you that it's wrong and that we're against it. We disagree with it. So the best advice I can say is give us time.
Yeah.
This is going to pass and everything will pass. And we're in a transitional stage where people will accept you. People mm-hmm. are always accepting. If something we learn from history, it's how things were accepted. I remember that 20 years ago, homosexuals were not accepted at the Catholic Church. Now this new pope, it's stating that homosexuals mm-hmm. are not an issue, right? So again, it only took them 20 years. But in those 20 years, there was a lot of damage done. And there will be some damage done because, again, that's how society works. It happened in the 1800s. It happened in the 1700s. I mean, we're talking about 60 years ago in 1960 with the civil movement.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a lot of people were not, the Jim Crow laws were at the beginning of last century. And again, we still seen some effects on it, but it's not as bad as, I shouldn't say it's not as bad. It's not as severe as it was back then. It's still happening, but again, we have progressed. It's not going to happen overnight. So be patient. We will get there. So just give us some time.
Look out for more information, guys, as well as there's a lot of suicidal events. If you feel like you've gone too far down in the deep and you need help, guys, go look for it.
Go look for help.
Okay? Suicide is not the last resort we want.
It never is.
Okay? If you don't feel comfortable, please look out for your nearest LGBTQ community for questions. Okay? There's always going to be a helping hand there. And it's okay to love who you love. It's okay to feel how you feel and identify however you want to identify. It is okay.
And that is so true. I mean, I couldn't have said it or finished it in a better way. That's why I have a co-host. All right. So, guys, again, nothing but love for you guys. Thank you for staying all the way up to this point. And we wish you nothing but the best. And I hope that your movement succeeds. And I believe that we will move forward. All right, guys. We'll be back after this. All right, guys, it's been an intense episode today, but we were back.
We're back. And it's all Charlie's fault.
Yeah, it was my fault.
I'm just kidding. It's just that I told him, like, I'm a perfectionist. I want to have our regular schedule, and if I'm not on it, like, literally, like, I feel out of place.
Yeah, so that's what we, and again, through the week, somebody did send a message and told me in person, like, hey, listen, man, I was waiting for the show, and it didn't happen, and blah. I'm like, okay, fine, I'm sorry, I'll be there. Are we going to do a live next week?
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
So, is that a promise? Are you going to promise them you're going to do a live next week?
I don't know. I want you guys to go to Facebook or whatever social media you can find me or Charlie.
Yep.
Okay? And tell us if you want us to air out a live for next show, guys.
Yes. And again, I just want to remind you guys that if you have a business that you want to promote, it doesn't matter what it is. Even if you want to try your music, if you want people to hear your music and we can put it in the background like we do with the banknotes, I'd be more than happy to. Again, we're not charging you. We're not going to charge you.
Oh, so then can I do a shout out too?
Yeah, you can do a shout out.
So since we're dealing with shout outs, if you want to shout out businesses, artists, musicians, groups. If you got a little woman, you're a businesswoman, a businessman, and you are an entrepreneur, okay? I have a special little entrepreneur on Instagram.
Oh, really?
Yeah. From what I heard, because I did send my, you know, autograph.
You did send her an autograph, yes.
Okay, because she's one of our special listeners, and I did ask to see if she could send us her playlist. Did she send it?
No, she did not.
Ooh, that's her homework for next week. Okay.
Hey, so, she missed it.
I'm going to give out a shout out to our one of our great artists that actually designed the Bunkers, Charlie's Bunkers.
You can't say her name.
Illustration.
She wanted to be anonymous.
Oh, no, but can I do her?
Of course.
Instagram?
You can do her Instagram.
So our artist that did our logo for Charlie's Bunker. So if you see, there's Charlie in the front and then me looking awesome, you know, thanks. thanks to Cujo and Luna 007. That's her IG name that you could look her up. She has great work, guys, anime and all. Go check her out. She is actually the designer for our logo for Charlie's Bunker.
Yeah.
So go check her out. And thanks again for the awesome work. And she also sells pieces. So if you're interested, go check out her page on IG.
Yep. And she did approach us to see if we can actually start selling some t-shirts. And she was trying to do the entrepreneur movement in the world. And I say, go ahead, man. I mean, whatever we can help you with, I'll be more than happy to. And we can move forward. So, again, guys, if she can do it, you guys can do it. All right? And especially Luna Cujo 007, or did
Cujo,
I got that?
Cujo and Luna.
Cujo and Luna 007.
Double seven.
Yes.
007.
She has a particular place in her heart, mainly my heart, because she happens to be my daughter.
And she's my number one fan.
And she's the number one fan. So I want to say to my beautiful daughter, thank you for the design. And I hope that I can help you with your dreams and goals. And again, this whole thing of Charlie's Bunker and El Bunker del Mero would have not happened if it were not for you guys, for my daughter and my son, and obviously people who are around me that motivate me to do all this. And it's not about me, it's about her. But I just want to give you guys the idea that it's hard for me to move forward. It's hard for Nelly Baby because she's also very introvert. And my daughter is also very introvert. So we're just moving this forward. And if we can do it, you guys can do it. So send us all your requests. Topics, music, business if you want to promote, or anything in particular, let us know. All right? Anything else?
Guys, I did go follow us, like I said before, on Charlie's Bunker on Facebook. There is, I want to see how many likes we could get in for the week or maybe this month.
Oh, you bet.
And send us those likes. Press that like button on Instagram, Facebook, and as well as so that way we could accumulate reviews. Mm-hmm. So go like the page as much as you can. And then if you can add a review for the show, please put a review there. Please. Thank you very much.
Share it. Share this thing.
Share the post.
Share the post.
Share posts.
Share the post.
And share any of our episodes that we display on our pages.
Yeah.
Please and thank you.
All right, guys. Until next week. Peace out.
Bye. Hey, I'm going to have to get a credit for that. And, you know, I'm going to have to charge you for my song.
Yes, I can see that. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Talk again.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
Do your little Charlie Bunker thing.
Charlie's Bunker.
I like the Men of the Hour thing.